Why get all your holiday decorations delivered through Instacart? Because maybe you only bought two wreaths, but you have 12 windows. Or maybe your toddler got very eager with the advent calendar. Or maybe the inflatable snowman didn't make it through the snowstorm. Or maybe the twinkle lights aren't twinkling. Whatever the reason, this season, Instacart's here for hosts and their whole holiday haul. Get decorations from the Home Depot, CVS, and more through Instacart and enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Baskin and Phelps, he's Jeff Phelps, I'm Andy Baskin, 216-474-0092. We will bring in Andrew Siciliano at 11:20, Kevin Stefanski's press conference at high noon. Chris Rose from the NFL Network, and of course Rose Rotation, is going to join us at 12:20. And then we're going to hear Jameis Winston at 1 o'clock. So we have all kinds of stuff coming up.
Yeah.
We started the show off today talking about a story that's on Cleveland.com, Plain Dealer, and it's, is the Browns' Brook Park plan even viable? A new City Hall report casts doubt. So City Hall went out, they did a study, and it's just saying, you know, why having a dome in Brook Park is bad. Is that the best way to put this?
Why they... They're basically just saying, hey, that won't work. That's a bad idea. That won't work, and here's why. And we spent money, taxpayer money, to combat the Browns ownership wanting to build something different.
There was a part of the story that I think is totally legit that, you know, if you build the dome in Brook Park, yeah, I could see where some events, like some concerts, would rather go to the dome than they would to Rocket Mortgage Fieldhouse, which is in Cleveland.
Bigger venue.
But what's the difference between that and having a concert in the summer at Cleveland Browns Stadium? Isn't that taking away from Rocket Mortgage?
Yeah, except for one thing.
But then people still have to stay downtown?
You could, in theory, put more concerts because you have a bigger window of weather.
Right.
Which, of course, you know, heaven forbid we bring 60,000 people to an event in Northeast Ohio. Because nobody will stay in downtown Cleveland hotels or go to Cleveland to eat dinner at the fine restaurants in town.
So you're saying if we did get the opportunity to have a Super Bowl, that would mean that no one would stay downtown?
No, they'd all stay south of Brook Park.
Oh, in what, 10 cities or where? So you're saying that none of the hotels in downtown Cleveland would benefit if they got a Final Four?
You know what I don't get, Andy?
I'm confused. Do you think the Mid-American Conference would move the MAC championship here?
I don't
get that we would be taking money away from Detroit?
Here's what I don't get. You have an ownership of a team that's looking down the road. They're looking to build something that's pretty big and pretty impressive and really forward this thing. Okay? Now, can they pull it off? I don't know. I'm not the money guy. But by God, they got a vision and they have a plan and they have an interest in investing in Northeast Ohio. And Cleveland, right now anyway, wants to think small. Hey, let's just put more money into the place on the lake and we're okay.
Well, whose money?
Taxpayer money.
Okay.
That's where Cleveland's money comes from, is taxpayers. Or, you know, in some way, shape,
and business,
or form.
And business taxes.
Right. Well, they're taxpayers.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. They're all taxpayers. People who stay in hotels are taxpayers.
True.
So they want to spend taxpayer money on that. Is there no compromise where, hey, we understand you want to build something really big and forward-thinking. let's help do that, and maybe we can do it here in the city of Cleveland. We're not hearing, I've not heard that aspect of this. Hey, let's take what you want to build and let's find a place in Cleveland. Can you imagine some of the opportunities that might be between downtown and the Cleveland Clinic and University Circle? Tie all that together? Oh, my God. How cool would that be for the city?
Wait, you're saying put a dome between in the I'm saying that again.
We have Cleveland downtown.
Right.
And we have University Circle and
right.
Cleveland Clinic and all that.
Yeah.
How about somewhere in between? I know there's stuff there now. Okay, well.
You're going to start tearing stuff down?
People tear stuff down all the time, Andy, and build new stuff.
Well, they'd have to displace a lot of people that live in that region.
Well, maybe not.
Midtown.
Maybe not. You don't think you can find 176 acres out there that might be viable?
Between downtown and University Circle?
Yeah, maybe.
Then the next question, Jeff, it's not, there's no freeway access to that. Opportunity
that
corridor
correct.
Would be
that
your
is
close.
Correct.
There's no quick freeway access.
Well,
you're clogged up on 55.
All I know is you keep telling me how tough it is to get into the stadium, and you know why? Because you're right. That's why.
Let's go to Angela in Rocky River. Hi, Angela. How are you?
Hello, Angela.
Hi, gentlemen. I'm well. Okay, couple things. You know, we come from Rocky River into the stadium. It is so easy. I mean, it's amazing how easily we get in and we get out. Maybe that's different from the east side or south side. I don't know. But
okay, so let me ask you a couple questions. What time are you arriving?
Usually by 9.
So you're there at 9 o'clock in the morning. So
there's no traffic at 9.
And you do realize they don't close down streets till I think, an hour and a half before the game.
So, you're right. You're absolutely right. So that is easy. But getting out's easy, too, because we just hop right on the shoreway. And that's, everything's open by then. And we have a lot of people come in from all over the place to go to my husband. They have a tailgate. They've had it for, I don't know, 10, 15 years. And so people come in from all over. Sometimes they go to the game. Sometimes they don't. And the thing that I would miss or they would miss, and we hear this comment all the time, is what a great place it is to go to a game because you can go to the tailgate. And then if you're not going to the game, you can walk to a bar. You can walk to the flats. You can go, you can leave and take an Uber out of town. If you're going to the game, you walk to the game from the tailgate. That it's, that there's not a lot of stadiums left that you can do that. Or,
disagree with that, but keep going. Yes.
If you go to Kansas City, somebody waited two hours to get an Uber after the game.
Okay, so there's one stadium that what they did there was also a brilliant idea that they put two stadiums in the same vicinity. And by the way, you know what they want? The Royals want out of there.
I know.
So I can tell you that pretty much any 100,000 seat stadium that I've been to for college football all have the amenities that you're talking about. That you can walk to a bar, you can walk to the stadium. I'm just trying to think of
Angela,
NFL stadiums.
So, Angela, you want the city to invest in the Haslam's hundreds of millions of dollars in the existing facility? Is that correct? Is that what you're saying?
No, not in the existing. I agree with you that that maybe there is another location. I think they ruined it 25 years ago or whenever it was in 90 when they put the stadium on the lake. I think that was the biggest travesty. But it seems like, I don't know, by the post office, take the post office, put that somewhere else.
So they're already putting a soccer stadium pretty close to that right now, too. In the works.
Well,
that's all right.
But it's such a nice place for people to come visit because there is so much access. And, I agree with the previous caller, too, that I don't think people are going to Brook Park on a random Tuesday in February to, go hang out.
If Taylor Swift was there, you think they'd be there?
Yeah, but you're talking 10 times, total of 10 times a year. And you know what?
Yeah.
If the Haslams want to do that and spend their money like they did in L.A., and I've been to that stadium in L.A.,
mm-hmm.
fine, go for it. I mean, that's
exactly.
In the middle of a neighborhood.
That's
exactly.
A great point, Angela. Angela,
yeah.
That's a great point. Agree
that's
with
a great point, Angela.
All right, thanks, Angela. Appreciate it. Chuck's in Cleveland.
Angela,
hi, Chuck.
Nobody went out to Randall Park Mall until they built it.
To which mall?
Randall Park, when it was out there.
Well, why would it? But it was still freeway accessible. It was always freeway accessible.
Right.
Yeah.
And then they built it, and everybody went out there. And it didn't last, but malls don't last anymore.
That's true.
Very few.
Hi, Chuck.
How you doing?
Good.
I grew up in Brook Park. It's a wonderful city. They lost the Ford plant, and they lost their tax base.
Mm-hmm. Bingo.
This is a wonderful thing for the city. Both cities. Because it alleviates all your parking problems downtown.
Mm-hmm.
And the last caller said something about walking to bars and stuff. Well, have you seen the facility he wants to put in there?
Yes.
See what they're putting in Berea.
Yeah, that's pretty serious, isn't it?
They just got all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So they're trying to tie all their stuff together, and of smaller area. So they don't have to travel the 15 minutes by highway to the stadium from their practice facility. Everything's right there.
Yeah.
Everything's within 5 minutes of each other.
Yep.
We're with you, Chuck. All right. Thank you, Chuck. Appreciate it. Let's finish this up with Jim in Strongsville. Friend of the show, Jim. Hi, Jim.
Hello, James.
Guys, listen, I know there's a lot of, like, sentimental reasons or whatever else to try to put. It's not going downtown. It's going in Brook Park. Forget downtown. Jeff, your idea was really nice, but there's no freeway access. There's no single owner of property that you can just go swing in and buy a whole swath of land from. So that idea, downtown's dead. That that in terms of whatever, but the idea of the stadium going down there is dead. It's gone.
Jim, let me ask you this, though. And I agree with you. I just threw out the idea of downtown. Brook Park sitting there, I'd put it right there. But why is the city then not pitching other options other than renovating the old place?
Well, they did. Remember, there was the Channel 3 FBI building option.
Has that been legit, though?
Well, it was an option. I mean, people
guys, they never wanted it. They wanted to move on. You got to look at it this way. Everybody's talking about bars and access to bars. Listen, I go to every home game, right? Yes, they're okay. So there were bars, but guess what they had to do? The whole party down on West 6th is closed down now. Do you know why? There's a giant presence down there because they couldn't control the crime going on around it, and it wasn't the people going to the games. So don't tell me about walk to a bar. That's maybe before the game. Very few people are going to a bar after the game. I mean, and honestly, the city, with all the police that are down there, because I asked the cop when we were down there, the mayor was sick and tired of it, and like it was unlike him to show this. It is a huge police presence down there on game day now. And that's not a mistake. They don't want it. Why would they want to bring the elements? You know what I mean? Tailgating brings in this element that is not conducive to regular, everyday city functioning. So there's just a lot of reasons not to have it there. Be happy. He's going to build a very nice thing. And look, everybody's like, well, are you going to go? People don't go to Crocker Park because that's pretty much what Jimmy's trying to do over there. That's my only point, guys.
It could hurt Crocker Park, right? If you're a Crocker Park, it could hurt.
It could hurt Crocker Park, but I doubt it.
Yes.
I think it'll help everybody. Look, there's plenty to go around, plenty for all of us. Plenty for me, plenty for you. Maybe not enough for Jeff, but plenty for everybody else.
Thank you, Jim.
Bye, Jim. Thank you. All right. Can we put a bow on this? I just think this was a cute article that came out this morning. It's something you'll think about and maybe Google about 5 years from now. Remember when they were questioning Brook Park? What?
This has become a very adversarial situation, Andy.
Mm-hmm.
I don't understand why. It doesn't have to. Try and figure it out. And the Cuyahoga County folks aren't on board either, and it's staying in Cuyahoga County, which, okay, if the city of Cleveland really wants the Browns to stay in the city of Cleveland, come up with some ideas, some thoughts, some cash, and help them do that. And if you don't want to do that, well, then let them go to Brook Park. You're still going to get hotels and restaurants and everything else.
Hey, maybe go build a couple more hotels right there by the airport, and they'll be in the city of Cleveland.
On Cleveland property, Andy?
Yes.
Yeah,
what a thought. All right, I'm done making sense. All right, 216-474-0092. That's the number to call. You know who we're going to be talking to next? Andrew Siciliano from the Browns Radio Network. He joins us next, Baskin and Phelps.
Good morning, guys. Yes, how are you?
We are good. Well.
Yes, we think so.
Yeah.
Sun's out, okay. So that's not bad. We're good with that.
How about those Cavs?
How about them Cavs?
Rolling.
Yeah.
You got any breakdown on them?
13-0 tonight.
Feeling good?
I don't. I missed the game Monday night. I was at Monday Night Football Monday night here at I went to Rams Dolphins, so I missed big win number 12, but go team.
There you go.
Well said. Well said. You ready for some beignets? Are you going to get a couple beignets this weekend? You going to do that?
I don't know. Maybe. It depends on you know, you get in late Saturday afternoon. That's kind of a Sunday morning thing. Remember, we're Central Time in New Orleans, and that's a noon kick, so it's probably going to be difficult. Noon kick local, that is. So I don't know. I mean, I love me some beignets. In the grand scheme of things, they're just little powdered donut bites.
I know.
But they are very good. Don't get me wrong. Angling for a good meal on Saturday. Happy for that.
Jameis Winston returns to the city where he looked pretty good at times and really didn't get the opportunity that he probably thought he was going to get once Drew Brees retired. What happened to him in New Orleans?
I got hurt. I mean, that certainly was part of it. Taysom Hill happened a little bit as well. I think you could also look at it as the place where Jameis kind of got his groove back to a degree. You know, the Bucs moved on after a 5,000-yard season, right? They said, now we're good. And the Saints, I think Jameis will tell you, he learned a little bit about himself, about the football, and kind of, I don't want to say recreated himself, but tried to become a different quarterback. We certainly saw that against the Ravens. We didn't see that against the Chargers. Let's hope the Saints play a lot of man. As Greg Olson was pointing out last week, they were doing, and Kirk Cousins had some success, and Jameis can find his game that we saw a couple of weeks ago.
Are they rejuvenated after this bye week? I mean, everyone got a week off. I understand that the two wins and the win column are just staring at everybody right now when it comes to this season, and everyone's already ready to turn the page and start looking at the draft and next year as well. But,
no, we're not, Andy.
There's a lot of people.
Andrew.
I'm just saying, are they rejuvenated after this little time off?
I can speak for myself. I am.
There we go.
Are they? We'll find out on Sunday. I think a bye week helps everyone. I don't think that's, you know, a very unique opinion. But I think where and when it happened on the calendar, week 10, I think certainly helps. It would have been great going into that bye with a victory and a little two-game winning streak and a different spring in your step heading down to New Orleans, considering the possibilities and what the rest of the AFC say for the Dolphins really did this past Sunday. You know, going back to Monday night, that's why that win was so big for Miami with three wins. They're 3-7, not 3-6. They kind of feel like they're in it again because Denver lost and Indy lost and the Jets lost and kind of everybody lost on Sunday. I am not going to sit here and blow sunshine at you and suggest that a Browns win on Sunday all of a sudden makes them a legit playoff contender. But Thursday night against the Steelers next week will feel a heck of a lot different if Jameis can go down there and beat the Saints. And I think he's got a good shot at doing it. I mean, look, this is a team that lost seven in a row before they fired Dennis Allen to put Darren Rizzi in there. They look like a different team last week. They're still a team, however, with some noted deficiencies that didn't magically go away just because their special teams coach got the interim job and everybody loves them and they showed up for a week.
Nick Chubb has been back for three games. His rushing average isn't typical. How has he looked to you? And is his struggling right now a byproduct of coming back from an injury, the offensive line, new play caller, all of the above? What do you think?
I might go all of the above. I will say I think Nick has looked better, not only on the field but in practice every week, getting progressively better. It's going to take a little bit. It always takes a little bit, I think, especially for the skill player guys. And I know I've said this before, but you know, guys, I've spoken to plenty of running backs over the years that come back from knee injuries who say, oh, yeah, I'm back in a year. I might be back in 10 months. I'm not myself. I could play
until the next year.
I could be productive. I'm not myself until the next year.
Yeah.
That's only for an ACL. Nick blew everything up in that knee, unfortunately. I mean, his comeback, pretty amazing and well-documented. Yes. It's great that he's on the field. It makes everyone happy. He's going to have his moment. I think it's coming soon. I think he's been really close a couple of times to busting through that line. He's also had, I mean, against the Chargers, he had a 15-yard run where you go, all right, I see it. I definitely see it. It's there. And I think we'll see more of it hopefully this week. I hate that you got to play on turf down there. That doesn't feel good for anybody. But maybe this is a bust-out game.
Just kind of your take on the Jed Wills story that came out this week about him, you know, saying that I just wish he would have said, I'm injured, I can't play, instead of saying, you know, business opportunity or business decision to not want to play. And really, what does that mean for DeJuan Jones? I mean, he's the guy that's got to step up. And does he stay at left tackle? Because, I mean, Coach said he's a starter for the rest of the season. So, you know, when you don't play, you create opportunity for somebody else, no matter what the circumstances are.
Yeah, I think the messaging was could have been better, let's put it that way, for Jed. If you go back to my pregame conversation, pregame interview with Kevin Stefanski before the Chargers game, I think I phrased it, has DeJuan Jones earned another start at left tackle? And he said yes, because he did play well in his first start, so he got a second start. I think he played reasonably well in his second start. And, you know, you have to look long-term here organizationally. It is worth seeing DeJuan Jones at left tackle to see if he can do it. I think organizationally we all agree on that. Everybody would agree on that with Jed in his final year of his contract. And as for the messaging, I think I agree with you. He might have been better said if I were to advise, and I'm not being asked for advice,
sure,
that you say, hey, I was injured. I told them it might be hard for me to go, and they said they're going to start DeJuan. And DeJuan got the opportunity and played well, and he's going to start again. You know, that's what happens sometimes. You have to sit out with an injury, and somebody else plays well, and they earn the spot. I think that messaging would have been better. I think the words business decision back-to-back never come off well, especially
never
in this clickbait social media world, whether it was the intent to say, hey, man, I tapped out. That's not what he said, but that's how it reads sometimes. He was injured. He couldn't go, but I might have phrased it differently. I think that's fair to say.
I would agree with you about that. Do you like the offensive line? I know there's a little bit of age there. But I think there's a ton of talent there, and I think it's still a viable long-term offensive line, Andrew.
I think I like the fact that they are going to play their third consecutive week with the same starting lineup for the first time this year, and I think getting back to the Nick Chubb question, that helps. That helps immensely. Consistency, communication, more important for that offensive line maybe than any other position group. Obviously the DBs as well, I might argue that, but I like that. And then look, in the offseason you're going to have conversations to make, probably at right tackle with Jack Conklin's contract, obviously at left tackle, we just touched on that. What do you do at center with Ethan Posick as well? Assume Joel is back, assume Wyatt Teller is back. Luke Whippler could have stepped into that job this year. Obviously, he got hurt in the preseason. Do you pencil him into a starting spot at center? What is Zach Zinner's development as a third-round pick for next season? So, yeah, I mean, I could see it back in one piece, but I don't know that that's likely.
This will be our first game without Za'Darius Smith, but I've always felt like with Double O, with Obo Okoronkwo, that they've always had three starters, three guys that could start any game with Miles at the end and Double O on the other side. I we'll see what this looks like with Double O getting way more time. Your thoughts on that, and what does that mean for Isaiah McGuire?
I think more time for Isaiah McGuire is a good thing as well. Love Obo, and yeah, he is going to get more run, but I'd love to see a lot more Isaiah McGuire as well, because I think in his limited opportunities, and those opportunities have certainly grown as the season has progressed, and with Alex Wright's injury, I would like to see more from him. Let me tell you, speaking to someone at the Chargers last week when they came to town, they said, hey, who's 91? Because we're looking at, you know, pressure cut-ups, and 91's making some noise. He's out, right? He's out. So let's not forget about him in this conversation, too, when we go long-term, because I think his performance the first month of the season is something to look forward to for next season as well. Thinking long-term, obviously not this week.
Jordan Hicks back?
That's huge.
Yeah?
Yeah, they missed him and JOK last week. I mean, that was certainly noticeable.
I'm just really curious to see what happens the rest of the way. I don't think this is a 2-7 football team. That said, you reel off what? You go 5-3. You know, we were chatting about this earlier. I don't think there's any question you can. Does that do anything for you? Does it calm anything down? I want to see them win some games, Andrew. I don't want to see them play for draft position here.
I think you could do both. I also think, and listen, we are, the draft is a long way away. You talk to the draft people and you're already hearing it's not a great top 10.
Yeah.
Well,
you
maybe
hear that all the time, don't you?
Yeah. Maybe Campbell's really a guard, and how high would you draft a safety? And I don't know which edge rusher I really like. And yeah, I love Shador, but I don't know, maybe Cam could do a little more athletic. I mean, listen, we're already in that season. You can't get wrapped up on the what-ifs, because so many things can happen with that top of that draft board between now and then. Somebody could get number one overall that you never saw coming and trade it for everything under the sun. Players could decide to go back to college. Players can get injured. We're talking college players right now. Let's look at Cam Ward, for example. All right, Cam Ward is a guy coming out of Washington State last year that had all kinds of options. A lot of people thought he was going to go to the NFL. And then a lot of people thought, oh, but he's going to be a Buckeye. Or no, he's going to go here, he's going to go there. And then it kind of became like a, well, where's the NIL money going to steer Cam Ward? Oh, maybe he does go to the NFL. Then he ended up at Miami. Certainly helped his draft stock. I'm just using him as an example. Not that the Browns want Cam Ward. But the draft board between now and then is going to change so dramatically that you can't focus on that. You got to focus on the 1-0 part. As short-sighted for some fans as that may sound, you can't sell it in any other way other than you got to go win this game.
All right, Andrew. Well, we'll be looking forward to hearing from you on Sunday. Browns, Saints, you're the man. Thank you, Andrew.
Beignets, guys. Maybe I'll try to get some.
Send us back a couple of them.
Yeah, have a donut for us.
Right. Oh, yeah. But don't get the powder on your face. It'll screw up your play-by-play, just so you know.
Sure. That'll matter.
Just taking care of you. Goodbye, Andrew.
All right. See
ya. Andrew Siciliano on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. When it comes to quarterback, what's the goal here for the end of the season? Do you want to see DTR? Is Jameis Winston going to lead you
Why get all your holiday decorations delivered through Instacart? Because maybe you only bought two wreaths, but you have 12 windows. Or maybe your toddler got very eager with the advent calendar. Or maybe the inflatable snowman didn't make it through the snowstorm. Or maybe the twinkle lights aren't twinkling. Whatever the reason, this season, Instacart's here for hosts and their whole holiday haul. Get decorations from the Home Depot, CVS, and more through Instacart and enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
A little confused on where we're going with this. So Kevin Stefanski, his press conference, we know we're going there at noon out in Berea. All right, Kevin Stefanski's press conference coming up here in about 20 minutes, so we'll check in out in Berea, see what the latest is. So, Jeff, I said this before break. Like, what's the goal here at quarterback? Jameis Winston starts this week. He'll speak at 1. You'll get to hear from him. But at what point do you want to see Dorian Thompson-Robinson? Like if Jameis struggles this week, it's DTR for me. I want to see. I mean, why not?
You think Jameis is going to struggle?
I'm just saying. I mean, he is a backup quarterback. He's not your original starting quarterback.
Well, he's,
and
he's,
you've invested.
If you're going to label him, okay, he was the backup here this year. But
you label guys all the time, Jeff Phillips.
I don't know that I do.
Oh,
he's been a
Dan.
You've labeled me more times than I can count.
Yeah, you're a labeler.
Doof. That's a labeler. That's the one.
I'm going to write down now every time you label.
Jameis has been a starting quarterback. Here's the thing. Everybody's talking about DTR. I want to see DTR. I want to see DTR. I want to see Jameis. Which one's a more viable option for next year to be the starting quarterback? Now, I know ideally you would want DTR because he's less expensive. Jameis has thrown for 5,100 yards in an NFL season and 33 touchdowns and 30 interceptions.
Yeah, he's good at throwing at the other team too, yeah. I mean, they were the third leading receiver in last week's game.
I'm not going to say he gets a bad rap because he has thrown a lot of interceptions. He also, there were stats I saw the other day, he threw it downfield like second most in the NFL last week, even though he had a tough game against the Chargers. He's getting the ball downfield. I would rather get a good look at Jameis and decide if he's my starting quarterback moving forward.
All right, so determine, just tell me what's a good look. How many games?
Oh, we have 8 left, right?
You want all 8 games with Jameis?
Why do I need to? I've got a guy who's thrown for 5,100 yards and over 30 touchdowns and was a number 1 overall pick in the draft enough of a talent.
Yesterday's news, yeah, but keep
enough of a talent that he was the number one pick in the draft. And then I've got a guy who was passed over by every team 4.5 times. I'd rather see the guy who's, who teams thought was the number one guy. And I like DTR. I don't think he's a real viable starting quarterback. I think Jameis could be. And I want to see. If Jameis can, if he can play well in the final eight games, I'm bringing him back as my starter next year.
I'm not going to disagree with the, with your overall premise, but I do want to see at some point, I want to see Dorian Thompson-Robinson have the opportunity to have a full week's practice where he's not the the scout team quarterback, and they actually design the game with him in mind. It's not that I'm against Jameis Winston. I think, that's great. Let's go win 6 games and not make the playoffs. That'd be awesome. And then do we think Jameis is going to be our quarterback next year? I don't know. I hear people talking about wanting to draft a quarterback, do this, do that. How are they going to be able to afford players because of the constraints of your former quarterback who's hurt for the rest of the season? Anyway, but I look at it, and there's some point I do want to see Dorian Thompson. It doesn't have to be this week. And by the way, if Jameis plays well this week, my desire to want to see Dorian Thompson-Robinson, I'm sure, will be diminished, thinking exactly what you're thinking. But, you know, where Jameis Winston was drafted, what success or lack of success he may have had in New Orleans or being ousted in Tampa Bay or, you know, wherever he's been, that's yesterday's news. Man, I don't know what's tomorrow. And if he's going to be able to play at the level that maybe you want him to play at, I'm all in. I'll buy the Jeff Phelps philosophy on that.
Yeah, let's just see him. I'm not saying he's the guy next year, but I think he has a better chance to be an effective starting quarterback in the NFL next year than DTR does. And that's no disrespect to DTR. I'd love to see Jameis DTR as a combination. I mean, look around the NFL. Look at the reclamation projects that have gone on somewhat successfully in the NFL. And why can't Jameis be one as well? I think he could be.
He could be. I'm not going to disagree with the chance there is a future. Well, like, if I can see what I saw against the Ravens, I'm all in. Like, you've given me hope. And like, the one thing I haven't heard over the last 2 weeks from anybody is hope. Like, no one has hope for this team moving into next season. No one sees it because I think we're all handcuffed by Deshaun Watson's contract and what he means to the organization. It just trumps everything that we're seeing on the field. And, you know, it's like, oh, okay, well, we've got Myles Garrett. Okay, that's great, you know. But I don't feel any optimism towards the future. And is it because of the way they lost the last game and we had to sit through a bye week and try to wonder, well, here we go, and can we be a 3-win team? Yeah, we can be a 3-win team. I mean, New Orleans was really struggling until they played last week. And other than their first 2 weeks of the season where they were just putting tons of points on the board. I want someone to tell me why you have hope. What gives you inspiration for this team?
Hope for what?
For what this team could look like next year. I mean, I'm listening to the afternoon show yesterday. I'm trying to remember who was on. And I walked away from that interview so depressed, thinking that, you know, there's no quarterback in the draft next year. And even if you were going to draft a quarterback, would you really do that? Are you going to give Jameis another shot? Like, I'm trying to find something I can sink my teeth into and go, you know what? That's reason to believe that the Browns can be good next year. That's reason to believe that I want to watch this team every game for the rest of the season with passion, not being just kind of like, okay, I'm watching the team because it's my team.
It amazes me how quickly people just say, I'm done. I'm watching them because they're my team.
Yeah,
I want to see how they're going to grow. I want to see what this thing might be. I want to see how they can do the rest of this year. I've never understood that.
I don't know what they're going to be next year. I've no
exactly. So, I mean, I so know pay they, attention to the final eight games and get a good look.
Yeah, I'm there, but that doesn't give me hope for the future. Like, I don't nothing
why not,
on there.
Why not? Watch them and see. Maybe it will give you great hope. Maybe you'll see their corners just become even more lockdown corners. Maybe you'll see Isaiah McGuire emerge at defensive line, and you'll see Miles be an absolute beast.
I just think we're.
I mean, there's a lot of things here that I think that are to like, and a lot of things that will say, "All right, that's got to be fixed."
What do you love? Give me something that you love about this team right now.
I love it's my team.
Outside of that, that's like because. Give me an answer. Give me something that you love about this team right now.
You and I both know that we differ on this.
Okay.
I don't need a winning team for satisfaction in watching sports.
I don't, to be honest with you, I don't 100% need that. I enjoy team. It's easier to like a team.
Absolutely,
when
they're winning. Yeah. It is. I can't wait to see what happens at quarterback the rest of the way. If it's Jameis, great. Let's see it. If he doesn't play well and they put in DTR, great. Let's see it.
Let's see it. Yeah, I agree with you on that. We're on the same page.
That's fine. I'm really intrigued by Cedric Tillman. He looks like the real deal, man. Now it's only three games, but he looks like the real deal. And if they could develop their own 1 or 1A wide receiver, thank you. I mean, that would be phenomenal. And right now, he's looking like one. Andy, the 3 weeks he's played, he's the best, most effective wide receiver in the NFL. You can look it up.
All right, so I went back and said, okay, what do you love, Andy? Right? What do you love? I love the thought of Nick Chubb resurrecting his career. Like, to me, that's something that drives me. I mean, I'm watching the games anyway. Again, it's my team. I will always be passionate about them. But what do I love about that? I love the thought of Nick Chubb being able to come back from this brutal injury and being one of the best running backs in the NFL. I'm cheering for that story. I'm cheering to watch Myles Garrett get more sacks every game. Love it, right? Love all that stuff. JOK was a story that was there, but now he's hurt. So it's like, I'm looking at, and as I've said all along, I've always thought 00 could have been a starter from day one when he walked in the door. Now he's got the chance to do that. So those are a couple of the stories I love. Cedric Tillman, jury's still out. I know he's had some success because he's been the most viable option for the quarterback over last week. I still don't know if he's my go-to wide receiver, number one guy down the road. Those are all
sitting
there.
Well, how could
there.
You? He's only had three games where he's been.
Yeah, but you seem to be, you're kind of in love with that story a little bit, right?
Absolutely. He's a 6'3 wide receiver who can do some things.
I want to see him get the ball and continue to do that. I don't know that this, like, we're not, how can you be in love with a two-win team? I know you don't see the wins, I do. 216-474-0092. Kevin Stefanski's press conference next, Baskin and Phelps.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.